This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. General Russell Honoré is in the house, one of our favorite guests here primarily as the leader of the Green Army. But as we know, the general is conversant on many topics. He is a man of the world. He's traveled most of it. And right now there's a war in Ukraine. The general has opined about that. And I had a listener ask me to start with that. So we'll follow the lead of our educated audience. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. New York Times today, the headline above the fold, stung by drones, Moscow becomes a nervous target. Minor physical damage, but attack on Capitol may signal a shift. A barrage of attack drones were downed over Moscow yesterday. First time civilian areas of the Russian capital have been touched directly by the Ukrainian conflict, a signal that a distant war may soon begin to feel somewhat less so ordinary for Russians. Now, General, does this mean an escalation, or perhaps is this something that would get Putin to the bargaining table? What do you think?
I don't think we had the point of getting Putin to the bargaining table, but it certainly appear from everything I've read is brought a lot of unease in Moscow, which basically has perceived itself as impregnable both from drone attacks, and whoever's doing it, whether it's Ukrainian sponsored or active guerrilla forces, is certainly bringing the war to Moscow, which has basically set back, supported Putin with their oligarchs prosecuting a war in Ukraine over made-up facts and situations that Ukraine was no threat to Russia, and we got a clear invasion. And at the same time, we've got people in the U.S., many of them in the Congress, and a former president supporting Putin, which is totally unconscionable in the history of American politics.
He's a bad guy, isn't he?
He's a bad man.
Okay.
We will do well when he's gone.
On another topic that involves things closer to home, debt bill faces growing revolt within GOP. A bipartisan deal to raise a government debt ceiling and set federal funding limits headed toward climactic House votes. 7-6 was the vote in committee to get it out of there, so it's now at the full House. There should be a vote today. Hard-right Republicans have revolted over the deal between the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, and the President, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., claiming their party was squandering an opportunity to force fundamental spending changes. Now, we've been down this road before, and I would say, based on what's going on, the victor in this battle, as far as politics, may be Joe Biden. He's triangulating the way Bill Clinton did. What do you think?
It's politics. It's democracy. It's a split government.
And go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
And this is what you have, and it's negotiations. I find it interesting that one of the major things many of them in the McCarthy Freedom Caucus went after was benefits to the poor. And much of our delegation in Washington from Louisiana support those cuts. When over 60% of our population in Louisiana live in poverty, many of those people get their health care because of the money that's appropriated by the federal government. I think 45% of Louisiana budget come from the federal government to support education and health care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do we pay taxes? Yes, but we get more than we put in. And at the same time, the federal government is the enemy from our delegation. And when you look at the poor parish up in Grant and Poinkapie, those parishes, very low tax revenues. They rely on the federal government to take care of their people for health care, food, and education. What a recent report that was in the paper yesterday, if you didn't see it, by the United Way, that show over 60% of our population living in poverty. And they rely on those benefits. And for some reason, there's some idea that cutting those benefits is going to save the United States money. And at the same time, the 1% who get a break on their tax, many of the large corporations pay no tax because of rules that were established.
Well, yeah,
this is one of the most unfair systems I've seen. But to go after the poor, which will just make a small dent in what they're trying to do to reduce funding, but have a major impact on poor people. And Louisiana and Mississippi, we are full of poor people.
Well, this is, once again, politics. It goes back to 1966 when Ronald Reagan won a race for governor of California against the legendary Pat Brown by bloviating about welfare queens getting welfare Cadillacs. And, of course, it was a made-up story, but it worked. And a few years ago, I was at a restaurant in California, and not to be a name dropper, but there was a famous actor and a famous director at the next table, and we struck up a conversation. And they said, isn't it something? You live in a state where you get more than you give. Louisiana gets more from the government than we pay in, and we live in a state where we don't get nearly as much as we pay in. And, and out here, we love the federal government, and out there, you hate the federal government. How can that happen, General Honore?
Yeah, and we got people running for president talking like Washington is Moscow. Absolute vitriol hate towards what's happening in Washington. We're the leader of the free world. When something happens around the world, people don't call Denmark and say we need help. They expect the United States to be there the next day.
Well, I would say that many Republicans hate Joe Biden more than they do Vladimir Putin. And, of course, many Democrats hate Donald Trump worse than they do Vladimir Putin. And Trump, despite all his flaws, I don't think he's in the league with the Moscow midget.
Well, I think that's a good observation. I think they've thrown this word around, this hatred toward Washington, to a point where people act on it. I mean, you look at 1-6, there's people who generally went there to think that the Congress of the United States was the enemy of the state. And I just think politicians really need to calm this down with this idea of the federal government being the enemy of the people of the United States. For over 200 years, we've been the leader in the world in this concept of this experiment with democracy. And it's not a complete work. It's not fair, particularly when you look at the amount of poverty we have in the United States, the richest country in the world, yet we are still strapped with this amount of poverty and poor education resources for our people.
877-217-5757. Please make your remarks concise for General Russell Honore, and on I-55, and you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Fine.
I just wanted to say that, General, sir, you are one of the most reasonable people that I have heard in a very long time. What folks don't understand, just in general, and especially here in the South because of the propaganda, is that we are a welfare state. But it's top-down welfare. It's just corporations taking the money, and it's not sustainable because if we can't buy their products, they're going to collapse too.
All right. What do you think, Jenna?
That's a great observation. You know, most of the – if you hear the folks in industry and the lobbyists tell the story, we have to pander to industry. Much of that industry is owned by foreign countries. Companies along the Mississippi River. We got 150 chemical plants between here and New Orleans, and probably 30 or 40 right here in the Baton Rouge, Port Allen area. But if you look at the shadows of those plants, you don't see the benefits of those $80,000 and $100,000 jobs, good jobs, but they have very little local benefit other than we give them enormous tax break. Now, Representative Bishop went after doing something because he, over the years, and he and I have been at the opposite end of many a topics on environment when he was in natural resources. But I think he, too, see the wealth of the state given away in terms of tax exemptions. But as soon as he got some headwind in that, the Louisiana Business Association came right in with a platoon of lobbyists and killed this notion of relooking tax exemptions. Because if we didn't have the tax exemptions, we could have some of the best resource schools in America. We should have two teachers in every classroom and every kid with a notebook going to school in new school buildings. That is not the case. And our universities, like much of the O&M, operational maintenance money, to maintain their buildings. I mean, we've been trying to replace the LSU library for how many years? This is an icon in the SEC. We've got a Ritz-Carlton place for football, but young people go to school in a mold-infested library.
877-217-5757, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. Some more time with General Russell Honoré, head of the Green Army and purveyor of knowledge about the world at large. And a listener notes, this is Tracy at the Capitol, that Garrett Graves has justifiably gotten a lot of attention as being one of the lead negotiators for Kevin McCarthy on this debt ceiling plan. But even in Baton Rouge, Shalonda Dolores Young, who's head of the Office of Management and Budget, native of Zachary, 45 years old, African-American female, arguably in a higher position in the government than Congressman Graves, with a more profound position. She was in every meeting. Every meeting. She's gotten almost no attention locally, and she was a major player in this compromise. What do you make of the fact that she's been kind of dissed by her hometown?
Well, that's not unusual. When I was selected to go up and do the investigation at the Capitol, it was in the national news, but not in the local news. It's not unusual. You know, not unusual. It's a subliminal way
of— Tom Jones had a song like that.
Right. It's not unusual. It's just more of the same. That's a different day. But she's done a significant job, and we got to be proud of our people from Louisiana on both sides. Graves taking the leadership. I don't agree with his position on
it's hard not to like that. It's hard not to like that guy, though. He's a nice man.
We work together on a lot of projects. But that being said, I just think they're absolutely wrong going after the poor. When we've got major corporations and the 1% is not paying a fair share of tax that everybody recognizes. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we're going after the poor and going after programs. Now, those programs cost some money, but as McCarthy said, that's only 15% of the budget. The rest of it is fenced for defense and other projects. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm proud to see the number of people from Louisiana at the national level that's making a difference. I just hope it would come out in policy that our delegation would pay more attention to the level of poverty in Louisiana. They've done a good job in going after infrastructure, but many of them didn't vote for the infrastructure bill, which is bringing a lot of good to Louisiana, replacing bridges and roads.
All right. Let's get to a few of you very quickly. You've been waiting in line to talk with the general, Dan Downtown. Dan, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Morning. General, would you agree with Senator Sheldon Whitehouse's book entitled Captured, that thanks to the Supreme Court Citizens United decision, Wall Street and the Koch brothers polluters own the Republican Party?
I can't disagree with that.
Well, is that an exaggeration?
I would say
Donald Trump owns the Republican Party, not the Koch brothers, but Koch brothers are supportive of him, so there you go. Leonard in Lafayette. Hello, Leonard. You're on. Good morning.
Hey, General. You don't hear the term fifth column much anymore, but the Republicans, they've become the fifth column for the Russians.
There is an affinity for Putin. Tucker Carlson, before he got canned, was all in for Vladimirovich Putin. But I think that'll wane over time. I can't imagine Putin playing well in the history books, General.
No, and I think there's an affinity for this strong and I mean, you said strong man leadership that accept the fact that they can suppress the media and the press, they can suppress their own people, and they control the voting box. I can't imagine from the Revolutionary War forward, all the wars we fought to for freedom to idolize and admire an administration that can suppress the freedom of the people to speak and to suppress the ability for people to vote, where the populace has no say, and where if the government don't like people, all of a sudden they're jumping out of buildings or they're drinking some bad tea that kills them. How can you admire a government like that? It's something fundamentally has gone wrong in America and our culture where people admire and that type of leadership where we say they're brilliant after attacking another company, country. This is ridiculous.
All right, Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Patricia, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, General. Thank you so much for your continuing service. I was wondering if there's any good news on the environment front or if there's some way that some particular aspect we can work on to try to improve.
Well, thank you for that question. There is some good news. The federal government has been working hard on the Clean Plant Act. They're in Louisiana doing monitoring, trying to get the state Louisiana Environmental Agency, LDEQ, to be more active in monitoring the plants, the air and the water. Reports have come out recently that the state doesn't have the resources as such are not monitoring the amount of total limits that's going in the Mississippi River from the plants. That's not being enforced. Recent EPA actions against the LDEQ and our own health department here in Louisiana has indicated that they have not paid attention as close as it should on the permits, and they do not take into account the cumulative effect of permits that plants next to each other can put into a community. Each permit is approved individually as opposed to looking at the... So there's some work from the federal government, but each time the enforcement from the EPA start the roll, as we saw last week in the Supreme Court, they knock them down in the Supreme Court, whereas these people wanted to build in a wetland. It ended up the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said the EPA don't have the authority that they think they have to control building in wetlands. Now, it was their private property. I can see how they feel that way. But we've got major issues here in Louisiana in building in the wetlands. Matter of fact, we're putting subdivisions in the wetlands all over this part of Louisiana from East Baton Rouge, Livingston, Ascension, and St. Tammany Parish. We're building subdivisions in the wetlands, and we're building them at elevation. We're not building them at 10 to 12 feet to protect them from floods.
All right. 877-217-5757. Mike Wolf just sent me a story from Time Magazine saying the Koch political machine, which fuels the most powerful donor network in conservative politics, has dumped Trump. They're not for him in 2024. So there you go. Thanks for the clarification, Mike Wolf.
Thanks, Mike.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with the general.
Well, good morning, Jim. Good morning, General. Sir, as an Army and a division commander, we're seeing so much resistance on the hard right conservatives who claim we're spending billions and billions and sending military aid to Ukraine to fight off the attack by the Russians into a sovereign country, yet they want to shift that money to send it to our southern border to fight the invasion, as they call it, of illegal aliens. Your position, sir, and thank you for your service.
I think much of that is political talk. We do have a long-standing immigration problem, but many of us, the food we ate this morning were picked by those immigrants. The meat we eat was processed by immigrants. They have a significant impact on our economy. But we have to have immigration rules. It's not an either-or situation. We've got to stop Russia in Ukraine and help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty, because it's Ukraine this year. Next year, it will be other Eastern Front countries that Russia has clearly marked from Moldova on that the Russians will go after. They want to own all that Black Sea access and be big Russia again, and we can't allow that to happen. And he's done this with the threat of nuclear weapons. He's done it with a vicious attack on the infrastructure in Ukraine, threatening the nuclear power plant there. At the same time, the Ukraine have been told to fight fair. Don't go into Russia. Oh, by the way, the two biggest oil pipelines that Russia still sell oil through go through Ukraine. Ukraine has not attacked those oil fields, those oil pipelines.
We do have to take a break. 877-217-5757 back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with General Russell Honoré, the head of the Green Army and the hero of Katrina. 18 years in August. Isn't that something? 877-217-5757, your number. Please be brief. Patrick in Innisfil, the state you're on with General Honoré. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, let's see. So we fought Vietnam, and the left was against that battle in Iraq, Iraqi freedom. They were against that, even though Saddam Hussein was doing basically what Putin's doing. Why all of a sudden the 180 with the left?
All right. By the way, it was the United States that invaded Iraq. It was Russia that invaded Ukraine.
Yeah,
Ukraine. And on the right, you got Donald Trump, who didn't fight in the war of Vietnam. You got, go down the list. George Bush II didn't fight in the war. Dan Quayle didn't. Almost every prominent Republican who was president or vice president, every one of them, the only one who fought was Albert Gore, Democrat or Republican, who got elected. Now, there were some who ran and got beat, who fought heroically, like John McCain and John Kerry. But, General, some say that's what's wrong with this country. In the old days, the United States, as Jack German, the late great columnist from Baton Rouge, said, you wanted to get in. You fought to get in the war. You lied to get in if they told you you couldn't. And then Vietnam comes, and these guys take a powder, and we basically not been as patriotic since. We haven't had the same kind of fervor.
Well, I think things have changed, and I respect the caller's perspective, but it's not a fair comparison to what's going on in Ukraine, where we've got total destruction of the infrastructure, indiscriminate attacks on civilians, even hospitals, and the grid that provides heat and light for people. It's a total different perspective. For whatever reason, both attacks going into the first Desert Storm War, I thought was a pretty clean operation to go get Saddam out of Kuwait. The second one, everybody had the opinion on that. But whether it's to say that it's a left or right thing, I do see clearly in my eye that there are many people on the right who are not for full support of what's going on with our support for Ukraine. And I don't think we got an option. We cannot allow the Russians. We looked the other way in Crimea under Obama, and we looked the other way in Georgia under George Bush, which I think both were mistakes. But we did not have the NATO alliance accumulated to be able to fight back and to support, to provide the support to the Ukrainians when Georgia happened, nor when Crimea happened. So Russia has been running amok for over the last decade in the region, and we can't allow them to go in and take Ukraine. And everybody will have their opinion on the Iraq and Afghanistan war. There was some good, bad, and ugly, and much of it ugly, with the continuous deployment of our young men and women there to try and preserve some form of a democracy.
All right.
And it just didn't work.
All right. A listener notes that... Who is this, Robin? It is Tom on Bluebonnet. He says that one, Clint Eastwood, who's 93 years old today, happy birthday, Clint Eastwood. Unlike John Wayne, Clint Eastwood did serve in the U.S. Army 1951, 1953 during the Korean War. Did not go to Korea, but he did serve. And Robin, do we have Clint Eastwood on deck here? Do we have a word from Clint Eastwood to General Honoré?
Go ahead. Make my day.
There you go. Robert in Lafayette, you're on with General Honoré. Hello, Robert.
General Honoré, thank you for everything you're doing for the Green Movement. My question is, are you aware of the current climate science that is espoused by people like James Hansen that talks about the state of global temperatures?
Yes, I am. And at the rate we're going, if we don't do something by 2050, we're going to be in big time trouble with the amount of impact of global warming on our ability to raise crops on people in the Sahara, as well as in much of the African countries to be able to sustain themselves because of the impact of drought and extreme flooding on the other end. We're in a heap of trouble when it comes to climate change, because if we don't cool the earth down between now and 2050, we're going to go from 7 to 10 billion people that will require, according to USDA, 30% more food to be raised on less land. Mm-hmm. Our mission in the Green Army is to find solutions for pollution. And I think we have to turn the industry and our technology on finding solutions for pollution. And we have no respect here in Louisiana to control pollution, because our legislators waver, as they did with SB 35, where we were just trying to do air monitoring, got beat down in the Senate in SB 35. And all we were asking for is to be able to do air monitoring, so when something happened at a plant, the people on the fence line would know about it. Got beat down. This is the fourth year Senator Fields has put this bill in, and we've never gotten it out of committee. This is a crying shame, because they're not looking out for the people. The word from Senator White, Bodie White, was, well, if this is going to cost the plants money, we don't want to charge them. It would have cost the plants $18,000 each to do the air monitoring when you spread it over all the plants based on the DEQ estimate. But he didn't want Exxon to have to pay $18,000 to put air monitoring in. And Senator White killed that bill.
Former employee of Exxon.
Absolutely. But, that's the way it works.
All right. Well, a grade for the legislature to this point with a week to go in the session?
I think they're hitting a strong D+, meaning that the place is still operational and the staff keep it warm. And too much culture war, too much woke, too much attack on the least among us, LBGT, and I mean, it's this culture war is driving us up the wall. No progress on the health care for people that are faced challenging pregnancies. No help there. Yet they submit bills like to eliminate environmental education. Can you believe that? HB 82 would have eliminated environmental education in schools. I mean, who does stuff like that? Good thing it was finally withdrawn. It didn't make it out of committee, but we've had some horacious bill put forward. At the same time, carbon capture, where the people in some pretty red parishes here along Mayfair Mall Park came in, Republicans, and said, hey, we don't want this stuff in our community. And all those bills were defeated by lobbyists who come in and said, we got to have carbon capture.
Robin says we got time for one more caller for the general. And we got several callers. And who's been waiting the longest? Judy in Miami. Okay. Judy.
Good morning. Good morning, General Honoré. My daughter, Brookie, cuts your hair. I have a question. What are your thoughts on the new threat or proposed threat of AI?
I think AI, we've got to get control of it. We didn't get control of the internet when Bill Gates said, let the world have it with no restraints. We have to get control of AI. It's finding its way into academia, it's finding its way into media, and it's going to find its way into this next election if the Congress don't take actions and the FCC come up with proper rules and protocols. This could be a big problem. You know, a week ago or so, we had an AI display showed up on social media of a bomb in the Pentagon parking lot. Within minutes, that thing had billions of dollars impact on Wall Street. Wall Street was watching it. They didn't verify if it was attacked or not, but it dropped the market for a period of time. Now, it came back up. We've got to worry about AI. We've got to worry about it.
All right. Thank you, General. 37 years, U.S. Army, Louisiana Treasure, General Russell L. Honore.
God bless Louisiana.
And we'll be calling on you soon. And in studio, John Wirt, the film critic, movie critic. 22 years he did his stuff at The Advocate. He still freelances and writes there and many other places. But John, I mentioned Clint Eastwood, 93 years young today. I love his philosophy. Don't let the old man in. Don't let the old man in. As of recently, he was still dating a woman in his 20s. And if that's his thing, God bless him. But obviously, he acts like a man much younger than 93 years old. Does Clinton Eastwood Jr. Your thoughts about his legacy and what a film career. He's done hundreds of films, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of films. What do you think about Clint Eastwood's impact on the industry and the culture?
Yeah, 93 years old, and what an incredibly successful acting career. He was involved, you know, and then he evolved into a great director. So he's a genuine cinema artist. He probably could have simply picked up the check for his acting, but he wanted to say something with his directing. And he did that over and over again. You know, after making his feature film directorial debut in 1971 with Play Misty For Me. And as, today is his 93rd birthday, of course, mm-hmm. and he's about to start, or he's already started, his final film, which is called Juror Number 2. So he hasn't stopped yet, but no. He says that'll be his last time around.
That's what he says, but then we've heard it before. Guy who was once mayor of Carmel, a conservative, made a fool of himself at the convention when Mitt Romney was nominated, but more often than not, he's dominated the big screen, the small screen. Some of us remember him as Rowdy Yates in Rawhide.
Sure do.
Yeah.
And yeah, watched it every day.
A commanding presence, shall we say, and has had a rough life as far as his love life. He's been married multiple times, almost as many times as Rush Hudson Limbaugh III, but he has been a giant on the screen. We'll talk with John Wirt about this and more when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Not only the 93rd birthday today of Clint Eastwood, born in San Francisco on this date in 1930, but also the 80th birthday of Joe Willie Namath, born in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, May 31st, 1943. He was 25 when he led the New York Jets to the world title, Super Bowl III. They were almost three touchdown underdogs to the Baltimore Colts. 116-7 in Super Bowl III in Miami, Florida. And Joe Namath became a cult hero like few others. And Robin Dow, who was born in the year of 1998, well after Joe Willie Namath retired, in fact, 20 years after he threw his last pass for the Los Angeles Rams, has pulled up a memorable commercial. Namath was a symbol of our culture, and here he was doing something that I'm sure he would probably not want to be remembered for, but when the image of Joe Namath off the field comes to mind, this is what we often think about.
This commercial will prove to the women of America that beauty Miss Pantyhose can make any legs look like $1 million.
Is that Joe Namath's
legs? I don't wear pantyhose, but a beauty mist can make my legs look good. Imagine what they'll do for yours.
Somehow.
All right, he did a pantyhose commercial. John, I'm sure you recall that as one of the high moments in the history of television.
Not exactly.
No. Okay. Well, he is a guy who is still around and has lived a full life, shall we say. He's battled alcohol, but he was the toast of New York, and he dominated that city's culture in the late 60s, early 70s. I remember he signed an unheard-of contract to play for the Jets in 1964, 65 actually, $427,000. Pales in comparison to what athletes are earning today. Last week, we lost a legend in Tina Turner. You wrote about her. You've seen her perform. She was 83 years old, and she, I think appropriately, is being recognized as the queen of rock and roll, an inductee twice in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And talk about an impact on the culture. She had it.
She has one of the greatest comeback stories in the history of music and showbiz, because she was, of course, with the Ike and Tina Turner Review for many years, and it was well reported and seen everywhere that Ike had abused her. So she took off in 1976. Now, it took some years, but in 1984, she released her album, Private Dancer, a bunch of hits, and she was suddenly a superstar. So, I saw her in 1985, and I wrote a review.
Was it here?
It was in Richmond, Virginia, at the Richmond Coliseum, and so it was a year after the release of Private Dancer, and when I heard that she had died, I felt a great pang of guilt, because I remembered writing a somewhat negative review, and so I revisited it. It turned out that I talked about her voice. I think she'd probably been working nonstop, and her voice was ragged out. It was, vocalists can abuse their voices. They use them too much, and if they don't use them correctly. So I criticized her that night because her voice was so ragged. And probably just from being in such demand and performing everywhere.
She was a force of nature, like few others. And she died gallantly in Europe, fought many illnesses the last several years of her life, but did so with the same kind of verve that she had on stage. Tina Turner, a true survivor. Now, last time you were on the show, a listener said we needed to get you on for the 50th anniversary of Live and Let Die. The song from Paul McCartney and Wings was released June 1st, 1973. Tomorrow will be 50 years. Got to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 and was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Lost to Barbara Streisand's The Way We Were. But it was a part of the culture, and if you go to a Paul McCartney concert with pyrotechnics, you're going to hear Live and Let Die. John Wirt, this song and the movie, starring Roger Moore, the 8th James Bond movie, but the first with Roger Moore, largely filmed in New Orleans. It, too, is a cult classic.
Yes, that film was released June 27th, 1973, in the U.S., and it's the 8th James Bond movie, and the first film to star Roger Moore as James Bond. So would you believe that Burt Reynolds had been considered to play James Bond?
I could see that.
It didn't work out, and they got Roger
Moore.
Poor
Burt.
they insisted on having an Englishman play James Bond.
Burt did pretty well, but he also was the runner-up. In fact, legend has it a coin was flipped. He lost to Jack Nicholson for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He had convinced Milos Forman that he was the guy, and Milos couldn't make up his mind, and he decided on Nicholson. I don't know how anybody could have done McMurphy better than Jack Nicholson did, but Burt Reynolds would have done well. He was a good actor, underrated fellow, and he had a big career as far as box office, but was never truly regarded as a good actor. But I think he was a good actor.
He had his moments. He also had a great career, huge success, lots of hit movies. So, he did okay.
And for those of us of a certain age, it's hard to fathom that it's been 50 years, but it has. And here is Paul McCartney, who's still going strong. This man was born in 1942, so in a few days, Sir Paul McCartney will be 81 years old. But here he was when he was 30 years old with Live and Let Die.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live, die.
All right, and as we part company with John Word and make room for the Hogs, as in James, Lyndon, and Jim, they're always busy, have some new things to talk about. But a listener asks, your favorite Tina Turner song, John Word?
River Deep, Mountain High. Or is it Mountain High, River Deep?
No, it was River Deep, Mountain High. That was Phil Spector's, and yeah. It's regarded as one of the great songs of all time now. Listed like number 25 by Rolling Stone on the greatest songs of all time, but it was not the commercial hit that Phil Spector thought it would be. It sent him into a real tailspin.
But it's a classic, and it proved over the course of time mm-hmm. how great it is.
And Robin Dow, as mentioned, born in 1998, but old enough to remember Tina Turner back in the day when she was not alive, but when Tina was going strong. What's your favorite? Pick it up. Let's hear what Robin Dow has chosen. Tough act to follow, but here's James Lyndon Hogg, who's one of our favorite musicians, locally bred, and talk about a career to come. He's off to a great start with many moons ahead, including a stop, I understand, at the Peach Festival, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Jim. It's James Lyndon Hogg. On June 2nd, Friday, June 2nd, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be playing, kicking off the Louisiana Peach Festival in Ruston, Louisiana. It's a great festival in Louisiana, and right afterwards, there's going to be another band called Arkansas playing. A lot
That's
of fun.
Arkansas, plural, right?
Yes, sir. Arkansas. Arkansas, yes. So peaches with a side of Arkansas.
Okay, I got you. So an unusual name, but James Lyndon Hogg, who is the product of couple of very talented people, but you're going strong. You're a young guy. You've already graduated from college.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
Probably a political career in the offing.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But right now, I love just going across the state and playing music and talking about Louisiana history, talking about history in general, and trying to inspire young folks about the past.
And a book, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wrote a book, Finding Faith in the Wasteland, Short Stories on Life's Quest for Meaning. And I just put out a new album as well. It's titled The Expedition, and I'm going to give you a copy right now. It's a collection of songs that I just wrote.
Well, I'll tell you what. We are short on time, but signature support for this program is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And as we hit the end of the program, let's finish it out with the incomparable James Lyndon Hogg with his latest CD, The Expedition, and a performance at the Peach Festival Friday in Ruston.
Yes, sir. All right, let's play an old tune. It's called There's a Time for Us to Wander. There is a time for love and laughter. The days will pass like summer storms. The winter wind will follow after. But there is love and love is warm. There is a time for us to wonder. When time is young and so are we. The winter wind.